From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. In spite of a nighttime curfew in Egypt's major cities, anti-government protesters are still in the streets, clashing with police. Tear gas and black smoke fill the air in the closing hours of the fourth day of demonstrations calling for Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak to step down. The BBC's John Sudworth is on the streets of Cairo.
We can hear the sounds of the tear gas being fired now at the end of the street, probably 100 meters or so. From where I'm standing, but the crowd, as you can hear, still incredibly angry, continuing to chant, and we can start to smell the... In fact, they fired the tear gas into the crowds now. We can start to smell it, and you can see people leaping over the barriers away from the tear gas clouds now. In fact, both sides now. The tear gas is coming in.
The BBC's John Sudworth in Cairo. Nobel Peace Laureate and former head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Mohamed El-Baradei, joined today's protest after water cannons soaked him and his supporters. Authorities reportedly put El-Baradei under house arrest. The U.S. economy closed out 2010 growing at a slightly more energetic clip. Gross domestic product climbed 3.2% in the fourth quarter, a modest rise from the 2.6% growth the previous 3 months. As NPR's Danielle Carson reports, the Commerce Department says consumer spending had a lot to do with it.
Key indicators helped shift the economy into higher gear. Consumer spending grew by almost 4.5%, the biggest gain in 4 years. Exports and business spending on equipment and software also went up. Stuart Hoffman, chief economist at PNC Financial Services Group, says the economy has finally shifted from a recovery mode to one of actual growth.
When you get up to 3% GDP growth, you're what sometimes I call escape velocity, meaning the economy is on its way to a sustained expansion.
Economists say it will take this kind of growth for several quarters to chip away at the jobless rate. And even then, analysts say it will take several years for unemployment to drop back down to a more normal 5% level. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
25 years ago today, Space Shuttle Challenger lifted off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. 73 seconds later, it exploded. All 7 astronauts on board were killed. At a memorial ceremony at Cape Canaveral earlier today, June Scobie Rogers, the widow of Challenger's commander, remembered the day clearly.
We were stunned to see the unspeakable unfold right before our eyes. Could this really happen? No one believed it could happen.
Scobie Rogers urged the crowd there to look to the future in space travel and science education. Lower-than-expected earnings reports from Ford and Amazon are driving stocks down at this hour. The Dow is off 137 points at 11,852. This is NPR. The new START treaty between the U.S. and Russia is poised to take effect. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev today signed the ratification of the Nuclear Arms Reduction Pact. The treaty limits both countries to 1,550 strategic warheads, a lower limit than the previous arms deal. Former South African President Nelson Mandela has been released from a hospital in Johannesburg. As Vicky O'Hara reports, doctors say the 92-year-old Mandela was treated for an acute respiratory infection.
Mandela, who's affectionately known by his clan name Madiba, was admitted to the hospital for what South African officials described as routine tests. After his second night in the hospital, officials called a news conference. The nation's Surgeon General says Mandela has an acute respiratory infection but is stable. Vice President Halema Motlanthe.
There is no need for us to panic. There is no need for us to fear for Madiba's health. He is in good hands.
Mandela, who's revered here for his struggle against apartheid, is now receiving further medical care at his home. For NPR News, I'm Vicky O'Hara in Johannesburg.
Britain's Andy Murray is heading to the Australian Open tennis final after winning today's match in Melbourne.
I changed my tactics well on the second and third sets, but yeah, very happy to come through because it was a really, really tough match. It could have gone either way.
No British male has won a Grand Slam singles title since 1936. To break the winless streak, Murray faces Serbia's Novak Djokovic Sunday. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.